RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. 167 countries to attend city conference in Surabaya. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro affirms arts and entertainment are free from tax. Foreign Ministry said no other Indonesian victims of Bangkok bomb blast. Now the news in detail. Some 167 countries will gather in Surabaya as Java to attend the Preparatory Committee (PREPCON) event for Habitat 3 or Preparatory Meeting for Habitat Conference 3 in July 2016. The meeting, which will be attended by 5,000 participants from various stakeholders, will be the last preparation before the Conference Habitat 3 is held in Quito, Ecuador in October 2016. Habitat Conference is a forum for countries that have concern for city issues. The forum has been held twice, Habitat Conference 1 in Vancouver, Canada in 1976 and Habitat Conference 2 in Istanbul, Turkey in 1996. Surabaya Mayor Tri Risma Harini held a coordination meeting with representatives from the local government working group, relevant law enforcers and armed forces in the mayor's office on Tuesday. In the preparation of the event, Mayor Risma requested all stakeholders to cooperate in welcoming the participants, while the leaders and the representatives of other countries, officials of the United Nations and World Environmental Organization, professionals and academicians. Minister of Finance Bambang Brojonegoro has set a rule that a number of art and entertainment services are free from value-added tax (VAT). The rule was stated in the Minister of Finance Regulation number 158/2015 on the 12th August 2015. Written in Article 2, Paragraph 1 of the regulation stated in sepskat.go.id on Tuesday that art and entertainment services are free from added value tax and are all type services performed by artists. Title of art and entertainment services that are free from VAT are movie art, music, dance, and fashion performance, beauty pageant and bodybuilding contest exhibition, karaoke, nightclub, circus, aerobats, magic show, horse racing, motor racing, arcade game, and sporting events. Written in Article 3, number 158/2015, which was signed by the Minister of Justice and Human Rights, Yasona Lawli, on 30 of August 2015, that these regulations shall be valid after 30 days from the date of promulgation. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs through Directorate for Protection of Indonesian Citizens and Legal Entities has ensured that no other Indonesian citizens become victims of bomb blasts in front of the Erawan Srint, Bangkok on Monday. Director for Protection of Indonesian Citizens and Legal Entities of Indonesia, Minister of Foreign Affairs Lalu Muhammad Iqbal, at a press conference in Jakarta on Tuesday, said that there were only two Indonesian victims from Indonesian citizens who were injured and died at the bomb blast.
Tidak ada lagi korban di luar dua korban yang sudah disampaikan sebelumnya.
No other victims except the two victims that had been submitted previously. Watching the first and second bombing, we have taken care of the victims quickly, precisely, and very well. We cooperate intensively with the families. The body was already transported to Indonesia on Wednesday night. The foreign ministry, in this case the Indonesian ambassador in Bangkok, was directly involved in the transportation process.
Kita KBRI Bangkok dalam hal ini, bahkan Dubes RI kita di Bangkok turun tangan langsung untuk membantu penanganannya.
Previously, Indonesian ambassador to Thailand, Lutfi Rauf, said that there were two Indonesian citizens as victims of Bangkok bomb blast. One of the victims was died and another one was injured. The two Indonesian citizens were a married couple of 61 years old. The man was injured and currently being hospitalized at the Hua Chu Hospital in Bangkok. Ambassador Lutfi Rauf also said the Indonesian embassy in Bangkok has issued a travel advice to all Indonesian citizens in Thailand to be careful when traveling, especially in public places which might be targeted. 8 years after its establishment, South Tangerang has now its own city hall worth around 300 billion rupiah in Pamulan. Deputy Mayor Benjamin Devi said on Friday, August 21st, that it's using multi-year budgeting system. Benjamin said that the construction began at 2013, covering 5 buildings. The city hall site takes place in the former Ciputa district office as given to the city in 2008. Benjamin claimed that the construction is already in accordance with the law number 51/2008 on the establishment of South Tangerang City. Head of the planning division at South Tangerang City, Dadan Dasa, said that the office will be sophisticated and modern, toning the concept of green building. One of the most vast features of the facility is 8-story parking lot, claimed to be able to take up to hundreds of vehicles. Siduharjo Matvo Handling Agency, BPLS, has continued disbursing compensation for Lapindo Matvo victims. On Friday, the agency sent 468 files to the National Treasury Office in Jakarta. BPLS spokesperson Dwi Nanto Hesti Prasetyo said on Tuesday that 468 files will be sent with nominal value around 82.3 billion rupiah. Referring to the first phase of the compensation disbursement on Friday last week, after the files are sent to the National Treasury Office on the same day of file delivery, disbursement can be done through the victims' accounts. In the first disbursement, BPLS sent 285 files with nominal value 734 billion rupiah. The files were sent during the day, and by afternoon, compensation for the victims had entered their accounts. The total files that must be disbursed are 3,331 files with nominal value 781 billion rupiah. Before being sent to the National Treasury Office, the files are validated by BPLS. The last item, rupiah's interbank exchange rate in Jakarta on Friday slid by 29 points at the start of Tuesday's session to begin trading at around 13,940 per US dollar, down from its previous position 13,885 rupiah against the greenback. The head of research for NH Korindo Securities Indonesia, Reza Priyambada, in Jakarta on Friday said that the rupiah is depreciating against the greenback as there are still no certainty surrounding the U.S. Federal Reserve plan to raise its fund rate, which drives investors to seek out safe haven currencies such as the U.S. dollar. Amidst the uncertain condition, according to Reza, any uptrend that rupiah might experience in the future will be of temporary nature, especially considering that there is a lack of negative sentiment from the domestic sphere. Reza hopes that Bank Indonesia plan to begin monetary intervention in the domestic foreign exchange market could help alleviate rupiah's depreciation. Reza also said that Bank Indonesia is planning to implement a number of strategies, which include the strengthening of Indonesian liquidity management system in domestic market, the issuance of marketing odd bonds in the secondary market, as well as switching from variable rate tender to fixed rate tender in bond auctions in the market. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
first commentary for today entitling Bomb Attacks in the Countries of Tourist Destination. More recently, a bomb blast has occurred in a busy area frequently visited by many tourists in Bangkok, Thailand. 23 people were killed, and 11 of them are foreigners who made a visit to Bangkok, including one Indonesian citizen. Last Wednesday, similar tragedy occurred at the Dolmabahce Palace in Istanbul, Turkey. In addition to the bomb blast, gunfire was heard in the area near the office of Prime Minister, and it is often visited by many tourists. Until now, there is no information about the motive of the bomb attack except targeting security officers in court. Turkish government launched anti-terror operation against the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, ISIS, and Kurdish militias in the southern regions of Turkey prior to the bomb blast. In January, the Party of Revolutionary Marxist People's Liberation Front, which was banned, claimed to be responsible for the attack. However, the recent bomb blast, there was no claim of responsibility. The local news agency reported that Turkey's security forces captured two gunmen to be suspected as the attackers. In addition to the bomb blast shocking Turkey on Thursday, another bomb blast also occurred in Cairo, Egypt. The blast came from a bomb placed in a car. It was reported that 6 people were injured in the explosions in Subra Al-Kaima district near the government office. The blast also burned a car and caused a very deep hole. According to Egyptian authority, the motive of the bomb blast is not yet known, and there has been no claim to be responsible for the blast. Prior to this tragedy, the Egyptian militant, which is based in Sinai and is loyal to ISIS, often claimed that it was responsible for a series of attacks against military and police personnel. Hundreds of officers have lost their lives since Mohamed Morsi was ousted from the presidency in 2013. Egyptian president who is ruling today, Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, is committed to combating against militants who threaten the securities of the Arab world and Western countries. This month, President al-Sisi approved Act of Anti-Terrorism governing the Special Court and protecting the law enforcers towards the militant movement. The opponents of President al-Sisi affirm that President intentionally has abolished freedom in Egypt after President Hosni Mubarak was ousted in 2011. Analyzing a series of bomb tragedies attacking some countries of tourist destination, the possibilities of the blasting is that the target areas are frequently visited by tourists. There is a motive to disrupt the image of the security of a country of foreign tourists. Egypt, Turkey, and Thailand are the countries that are often visited by many tourists, including from Europe countries and the United States of America. It is necessary for other countries to pay a serious attention to such bomb blasts, including Indonesia, to be aware of the possibility of unexpected attacks against areas that are frequently visited by a lot of tourists. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start from an event that happened on August 21, 1945, Declaration of Indonesian Police, Polri. After the proclamation of Indonesian independence, Police Inspector Class 1 Muhammad Yasin, Commander of Police of Japanese Occupation Era in Surabaya, declared the police position as the Police of Republic of Indonesia on August 21, 1945. The decision following the establishment of the State Police Agency by Indonesian Independence Preparation Committee, PPKI, on August 19, 1945. On September 29, 1945, President Sukarno inaugurated the first Indonesian police chief, Police General Sukanto. First, the police was under the Home Affairs Ministry with the name of State Police Service, which was only responsible for administrative issues, while operational matters responsible to the Attorney General. Then, starting on July 1, 1946, by Government Decision No. 11/1946/SD, the State Police Service is directly responsible to the Prime Minister and Head of Government. July the 1st is commemorated as the Bayangkara Day. On August 21, 1959, Hawaii joined with the United States. Hawaii is a state of the United States. The islands was discovered by James Cook, a British adventurer, on January 10, 1778. The native inhabitants of Hawaii Islands is Polynesian tribe. The King Kamehameha I was a great king who has been ruled in Hawaii. Hawaii was powered by the United States since 1898, but the island was proven as the 50th state of the United States on August 21, 1959. In the World War II, Hawaii played an important role as the Allied defense in the Politic War, in the Pacific War against Japan. In addition, Hawaii became one of well-known tourism destination places that offered natural beauty and beautiful marine tourism. We conclude today's segment of Today in History with an event on August 21, 1969, Al-Aqsa Mosque, that was the first direction of Muslims burned by an unidentified man. The fire caused Al-Aqsa Mosque has seriously damaged. Israeli Zionists said that the perpetrator was a tourist from Australia who was then arrested and tried. However, the tribunal, which was a drama of Zionist regime in Tel Aviv, decided that the tourist experienced a mental disorder so that he was set free. In addition, the burning of the mosque invited the governments of Muslim countries to build Islamic Conference Organization with the aim to confront the dangers that threaten the world and sanctity of Islam. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome back to Focus. Today we'll take you to have a look at the development of border area become priority of the government. Local community of Kayan Hulu District, Malinau Regency, North Kalimantan, that previously lived and worked in Sarawak, Malaysia, since the last 3 years, began to come back to Malinau. By developing Kayan Hulu District, it became their reason to come back there to their hometown. Ageng Oleh, a resident of Long Batao Village, Kayan Hulu, on Tuesday, August 18, said when his region, located about 444 kilometers northwest of Malinau and bordered with Sarawak, Malaysia, still isolated, many people choose to work in Sarawak. This condition caused the people in Kayan Hulu are difficult to get job and limited access to Malinau. However, Ageng Oleh said, since the last 3 years, residents of Kayan Hulu who live in Sarawak come back to their hometown gradually since road access to Malinau is now opened, as well as the facilities of education and health are getting more developed in Kayan Hulu. Malinau Regent Yansen Tipa Pandan said,
Since the last 3 years, Kayan Hulu no longer isolated so that food supply and many other goods can enter the region. Yansen said, this year the region provides 229 billion rupiah to accelerate development in 109 villages in Malinau. With a budget allocation, each village will receive 1.6 to 3 billion rupiah. The region Yansen Tipapadan also said the construction road will become main priority to overcome the isolation. Indonesian Home Affairs Minister Cahyo Kumolo said currently the government brings priority for the development to the border region. Therefore, he said Long Nawang, the capital of Kayan Hulu District, has been designated as the National Strategic Activity Center, PKSN, so that the entire national and regional programs should be directed to develop the region of PKSN in Long Nawang. The development priorities in Long Nawang, namely road construction of Long Nawang-Malaysian border, Long Nawang-Lasan Tuyan in west-north Kalimantan, north axis of Cross Kalimantan, and the development of Long Nawang Airport as well. Meanwhile, the custom head of Apau Kayan Port of Kayan Ulu area, Ibau Ala, said the regional road need to be overlaid by asphalt. Besides, a number of bridges need to be constructed to facilitate basic supplies and other consumer goods. Therefore, the price of goods is not much different from those in the district capital. If the border development is accelerated as the government's promise, Ibau Ala convinced more residents who previously lived in Sarawak back to Malinau. The supply of goods will entirely come from the country, no longer from Malaysia. Listener, that was Focus.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. Some 167 countries will gather in Surabaya, Java to attend the Preparatory Committee event for Habitat 3. The meeting, which will be attended by 5,000 participants from various stakeholders, will be the last preparation before the conference Habitat 3 is held in Quito, Ecuador in October 2016. Minister of Finance Bambang Brojonegoro said that a number of art and entertainment services are free from value-added tax VAT. The rule was stated in a Minister of Finance Regulation number 158/2015 on the 12th of August 2015. Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs through Directorate for Protection of Indonesian Citizens and Legal Entities has ensured that no other Indonesian citizens become victims of bomb blasts in front of the Erawan Street, Bangkok on Monday. 8 years after establishment, South Tangerang has now his own city hall worth around 300 billion rupiah in Pamulan. Deputy Mayor Benjamin Dhani said on Friday that it is using multi-layer budgeting system. Benjamin said that the construction began at 2013, covering 5 buildings. Sidoarjo Mud Flow Handling Agency BPLS has continued disbursing compensation for Lapindo mud flow victims. On Friday, the agency sent 468 files to the National Treasury Office in Jakarta. BPLS spokesperson Dwi Nanto Hesti Prasetyo said on Tuesday that 468 files will be sent with nominal value 82.3 billion rupiah. Rupiah's interbank exchange rate in Jakarta on Friday slid by 29 points at the start of a Tuesday session to begin trading at 13,914 rupiah per US dollar, down from its previous position at around 13,885 rupiah against the greenback. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello. Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, I'll invite you to travel to Lampung, the southernmost province of Sumatra Island, Indonesia. So stay tuned. Listener, long time ago, in Lampung lived a young man from the Arabian Peninsula who traveled to the island of Sumatra, whose name was Serunting. He was also known as Sipahit Lidah or Bitter Tongue. He had magic in the form of a curse. Whatever he would curse turned to be stone. It was said that Sipahit Lidah did not like the people who lived in the port of Lampung. People in the port were too busy and often ignored the Bitter Tongue or Sipahit Lidah while he tried to greet them. Therefore, he was angry. He then cursed the people there into stone. Until now, the stones or rocks that mostly resemble ships are still visible in the Pantai Guci Batu Kapal. It is on the right side of the beach. This legend that underlined the naming of one of the favorite tourist attractions in Lampung. In addition to the legend, there is other legend. It is Pantai Guci Batu Kapal. The name Guci was taken from an ancient story, which allegedly found a large jar relics of foreign merchants at the area. This jar can make someone disappear when she or he gets into the jar. The legend of the curse of the Bitter Tongue and magic jar adds to the attraction of Pantai Guci Batu Kapal. This beach is located in Maja Village, Kalianda, South Lampung Regency, Lampung Province. The distance is approximately 5 kilometers from the Kalianda, the capital of South Lampung Regency. From Bandar Lampung, Lampung Provincial Capital, Kalianda can be reached approximately 1.5 hours. The admission to this tourist area is very affordable. It is about 5,000 rupees per person or less than 50 US cents. Pantai Guci Batu Kapal has beautiful beach, soft sand and rocks that seems to squeeze from both sides. The waves are calm with large trees that decorate the shoreline. You can swim on this beach. Moreover, there is a natural swimming pool located between the rocks with clear water. The rocks that seem to be a gneiss that traps seawater and form a pool of clean water with a coral rays. When the water recedes, the rocks turn into a natural aquarium contains small fish thriving in it. Listener, there are a lot of activities can be done in Pantai Guci Batu Kapal, including rowing boat. The beauty of the sunset in the Pantai Guci Batu Kapal is also the reason why many tourists come to this beach. The natural beauty and the uniqueness of its legend is also a reason why Pantai Guci Batu Kapal becomes the site of a festival entitled the Food Nusantara Adventurers Festival. The festival, which was held from August 15 to 17, over various exciting activities, among others, paragliding, snorkeling, photography, trekking, and diving. On August 17, coinciding with their celebration of the 70th anniversary of Indonesia's independence, there was a flag-raising ceremony there. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Pantai Guci Batu Kapal. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa and bye-bye.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, VOI listener, wherever you are. Welcome back to Miscellany with Mirahma. Today's edition presents you the National Maritime Day. Indonesia is indeed a country which consists of islands which have the largest sea in the world. That's why Indonesia is often called as a country with the biggest maritime power. However, not all Indonesian people see the sea optimally to support their daily activities. Indonesia also has the longest shoreline in the world, namely 80,000 kilometers, which is 14% of shoreline in the world, with the size reaching 5.8 million kilometers square, or approaching 70% from the total size. Indonesia is believed to be the one of the world's largest maritime country. Since the 9th century, which was the heyday of the country, the Indonesian nation has done far sailing to the west, crossing through the Indian Ocean to Madagascar, to the east until Easter Island. Following the crowded trade flow through the sea, maritime kingdoms emerged with big naval fleet. The biggest maritime kingdom began from Sriwijaya Kingdom in 683 to 1030 AD. The history describes the great trade fleet, the reliable sea transportation management and qualified military fleet from several kingdoms that could unite the vast territory and make other nations respect the nation. With big trade fleet, the kingdoms brought natural commodities to other countries. To maintain security, the kingdoms had a strong naval fleet. August 21st is chosen as the National Maritime Day because of some factors. On August 21, 1945, the Indonesian Navy Force, or TNI AU, managed to beat Japanese Navy armies who have used advanced technology. They were successfully expelled with simple tools. History also notes that August 21 is commemorated as the National Maritime Day. It refers to that history. However, apart from the polemic of the story behind the setting of the National Maritime Day, many people agree that Indonesia should get good momentum to look back at the real identity of the nation. As a maritime country, during the New Order regime, the government emphasized land-oriented development. In fact, marine resources were not well explored yet.
The National Maritime Day may become a momentum for that, but the government should show direction into it. And what important is to begin. To commemorate the 70th National Maritime Day, the Indonesian government, through the Marine and Fisheries Ministry, has made efforts to raise awareness of the importance of sea for Indonesia among Indonesian people. Sea is not only beautiful to see, it needs good maintenance. Efforts to stop illegal fishing are made massively by the ministry. However, moreover, the Indonesian Navy Force do small things which are important to maintain underwater biota. Planting and maintaining coral reefs are successfully done by the Indonesian Navy Force to preserve the Indonesia Sea. It is all done to make underwater view of Indonesia worth seeing and visiting by tourists. Well, VOI listener, that ends today's miscellany on the National Maritime Day. I'm Rahma. Thanks for listening.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Rahma, in our regular segment, Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today, we present you an Indonesian dangdut singer, Mirnawati. To begin the program, here is a song by Mirnawati entitled Karang Cinta. Happy listening. Listener, Mirnawati gained fame in dangdut music industry when releasing an album, Jeritan Hati. Since then, songs similar to Jeritan Hati become her trademark. Indeed, Mirna performs optimally when singing sad songs. Unlike the now dangdut singer, who relies on dance, Mirna performs with heart and tears flowing on the cheek. Mirna is consistent in the original dangdut, although there are disco dangdut, pop dangdut, dangdut remix, dangdut koplo, and many more. Well, listener, before we continue, let's listen to another song by Mirna entitled Jeritan Hati.
Terima kasih.
Mirna stayed consistent in the original dangdut despite various dangdut music trend when she released an album Air Mata Pengantin. Unfortunately, the songs in the album were not really a success. It is indeed not easy to maintain consistency, but it is much more difficult to force singers to produce works which are not suitable for their characters. That's what made Mirna gone from the music industry. After 6 years, Mirnawati is back, but not alone. He shows up with a handsome singer, Eki Suara, in the latest album, Asmara Kita. Is it true that it tells about their love? Well, it's only them who know it. Alright, listener, now let's enjoy two other songs by Mirna called Asmara Kita and Suara Hati, which also ends today's program. Enjoy the songs and I'll see you again in another edition of Music Corner.
Aku rasa, engkau pun rasa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.